Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with the latest version of Mean Girls, which is the musical version, so major spoiler alert for that. And I guess spoiler-ish for the stage show if you care about the differences between the two. We also watched the entire Marvel Spotlight series Echo, a major spoiler alert for that one, and for the Daredevil series, basically a blanket notice for the MCU up to this point. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we watched the 2024 version of Mean Girls because I refuse to just call it Mean Girls because it's deeply upsetting to me. What did you think? You knew it was a musical, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like one of the few people on planet Earth who like that knew from the beginning it was a musical.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly why I knew it other than I had seen the stage show and then
they announced the teaser.
Yeah. I guess when they announced it, I must have read it or something. So they announced it. And then I'm like, well, in the logo, it's got a little music note. Don't you go? People are like, oh, it did. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, I mean, I'll preface this by saying I don't like the stage show.
I haven't seen it, so I don't have an opinion on the stage show.
Yeah, like it really just kind of like, to the point where I saw it with my sister, actually, and I don't know, I wouldn't want to say we actively considered it, but kind of thought about leaving at intermission. Hmm. Didn't like it that much. I do love the original movie, like most people. You know, it's fun.
Yes yeah.
This, this to me felt like three Rene Rapp music videos with like YouTube style commercials in between.
Mm.
That's what this felt like to me.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't, I didn't hate those music videos.
Sure.
But there were so
but
many.
But do a feature film they make, right? Yeah.
No, they do not. That's the point, right?
Yeah.
There was too many, way too many. It was like sitting through like 30 minutes of commercials in between each music video, you know? And it was, and I was like, you know, I don't know. It didn't hit for me.
That's completely fair. I thought it was fine. I had enough fun at it that I was like, okay, but I don't know about you. I watched the whole thing being like, okay, where are the differences? When are they going to say the line? Like, how are they going to address this? And so I'm just watching it through the lens of constantly comparing it to the original. And while I thought this was fine, and I give it credit for taking advantage of the medium of film for like the musical parts where they just like completely embraced it and had these, you know, crazy camera moves and all this stuff. I was like, I will never watch this again because if I want to watch this again, I'm just going to watch the original Mean Girls.
Yeah, well, no, I have a lot of thoughts about what you just said because I agree with you on all of it. I remember when I first watched when I was watching the stage show, mm-hmm. I was like, Mean Girls is one of those things where it has the, I don't want to say it has the problem, but when it comes to adapting it again, it has the problem with being more quotable movies of the last like 20 years, right? Like it's very quotable.
Yes.
Everybody knows one quote from it at least, but many know most quotes from it, right?
Right.
And so you're watching it and you're watching this version where they've updated it for Gen Z somewhat, or I shouldn't say Gen Z, but more modern day, but it is a Gen Z twist to it. But, and they have, you know, they've PC'd it a little bit where they've taken some things. It's dated, right? There's some stuff that like, should do that, or let's cut that joke. We don't joke about that anymore, right? And that's all fine. But because it's so quotable, I kept finding myself when I first saw the show that it was just like, okay, here comes that moment. And then they would do it differently. And sometimes it felt like just to do it differently. And then I was like, but I want the original version. Right. So I kept hitting with that. And so this one, it was bothering me less than it did in the stage show, like the differences. Mm-hmm. And some of the moments were kind of fun to reestablish. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think like it took advantage of the film medium when it comes to the musical numbers, but at the same time, I just was kind of like,
I'm not saying we needed a version, but I'm just like, okay, at least you did something with it.
Right. Yeah. Like, I gave it some credit with that stuff, but I thought I was really bothered by, like, obviously Rene Rapp's talented and she played Regina on Mean Girl on Broadway for some time and was a good casting choice, I feel. Even though, you know, too old for the part here, but like so was.
Okay, well, yeah. Yeah. In keeping in line with.
Keeping in line, yeah. And I would argue, if you really wanted to go deep, I would argue that Regina, because they were all too old, but like Regina's always older than the rest of them for some reason. Yeah. And I would argue that she's kind of supposed to be, because she's like that girl in high school who like somehow like went into like seeming adulthood. And we're all like, how are you an adult? And we're all, you know what I mean? Feels appropriate for the character. That they age her up, but or cast her up, I should say.
Yeah.
But the actress, I can't remember her name right now, but the one that they cast for Katie in this, I just thought she
Ungari Rice.
Yeah, she wasn't a singer. She was not a strong singer. And I'm like, she's the lead.
So that was my biggest beef with it, is that Angourie Rice, or I think that's how you say her name, like, I think she's great. She's from the Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Is who I remember her from. Like, she can act and she can face act while she sings, but she can't sing. Renee Rapp can sing and can sort of face act while she does it because she's playing this, like, bitchy character. She can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are roles that really require you to be able to do both. I think Ali Cravalho is great at doing both. And I think Jaquel Spivey as Damien, like, both can do it. But the if you have the two leads of it, you know, not as the strongest in both columns, like, why did you cast them? We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of liking an adaptation. I mean, like, I sit here and I like the Phantom of the Opera, right? And it's just like, you cast Gerard Butler as the Phantom. It's like, what are you doing? But and so I wanted to talk here, but I'm just saying that, like, it just bugged me. I was just like, you guys, like, and it's funny, they actually cut out a lot of songs, which
I
think was probably good because, well, I don't like most of the music. I like Regina's songs for the most part, but I don't like most of the songs. I think it was probably a good choice because, like, you know, for the story, you don't need to sit through a 2.5 hour film, which is what it would have been if it was a direct adaptation of
the
stage show, right? We do not need the story to be that long in any world.
No, it still added 20 minutes to the original. Yeah. So, yeah.
But Janice and Damien are kind of the, they take you through the whole thing, which they kind of did that here, but they have more songs and everything. And Janice is kind of more of a powerful power singer part.
Mm.
And so, while I think she did a good job, and I thought she was one of the stronger actors in it, and I'm happy for her branching out, kind of doing a different, you know, we know her as Moana, but it's like, I thought she was good, and she was certainly talented enough to do this, but I also was like, oh, but I want you to be a little more, like, powerful. But Damien, he was great and fun, and they actually, that song Apex Predator, where they're singing about Regina to her, that's actually a song with Janice and Katie.
Oh.
And they made the clear choice to be like, let's give it to Janice and Damien, saying that they're just singing about her Regina to Katie.
Yeah.
Thought it was probably for this the right choice. But I like the song better when it's a Katie and Janice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was whatever. But yeah, and I thought that, like, the cameos they did have were fun. I love seeing Ashley Park in it since she originated Gretchen. It would have been fun if they gave her something to do singing wise. But she was the original Gretchen on Broadway.
Okay.
And obviously Lindsay, and it was fun. And I don't know if there were other cameos of people that I don't know who they are.
Well, I mean, Megan Thee Stallion had.
Well, yes, but I mean, like, others, like, you know, that I recognize. And I was also sad to say, like, I love Tina Fey, and when I first saw her, I was like, oh, Tina looks great. And then I immediately realized, I was like, oh my God, she's beauty boxed the hell out of her.
Like, well, yeah.
Beauty boxed, like they do in, like, you know, where they go and soften the skin afterward. Yes. And I'm like,
I did that for a job for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Right there you go. Yeah. Yeah. It was just so obvious. And I was just like, why are you doing this? Like, she doesn't have to be younger. Like,
I know. I love Tina and I love Tim Meadows. But I think the biggest problem with them reprising their roles is that it adds to this idea of, like, you're comparing it to the original because you're like, you are the same people.
Make it all new or don't make it. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. With cameos, give them a cameo. Like, Lindsay, I thought Lindsay being in it was totally fine. Like, it was just like a fun little, fun.
It's too bad because, like, the screening I was at, I saw it, like, a few days before it came out. And they're like, okay, please, like, be sure to hold the embargo and don't mention any cameos. I was like, oh, no, Lindsay Lohan's in it. Which I would have figured out anyway, but it just made it. I was like, okay, fine, you know.
Yeah, I kind of assumed I was like, she'll be there somewhere. But it was fun to see her. And it was like, okay, cool. Yeah. I think that was all in good fun. And I will say, I had... While I'm kind of, like, you know, poo-pooing the movie, I had a great time watching it, though. And everyone in the theater was, like, I don't know if they're laughing with it or at it or what, but, like, everyone was, like, into it. People were all where everyone in the whole theater is wearing pink. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was really fun.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's great.
No, I ended up at the Grove for a different screening on Wednesday. So it was before I thought it was coming out. And so there was an army of people in pink there. And I was like, is there, like, a Barbie screening, or is there, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But there were so many. I was like, this has to be a coordinated something. Like, there is no world in which this is just happenstance. And then I guess it was an early screening of Mean Girls, but I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, something is going on. And
then on Wednesdays, we wore pink.
Exactly. And I was going to say, when I was booking the tickets, because we went on Thursday, I saw there was an early screening of it, and it was a Wednesdays We Wear Pink screening on Wednesday, for a fan event thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I was like, okay. Which would have been fun, but this was still fun because it was like,
yeah,
you could just tell. I mean, people, I think for the most part that were there, like, knew what they were, you know exactly what you're going into, kind of, you know, you're just like, okay, well, hopefully this will
not
just
according to TikTok, but
well, as I say, apparently not, but if you if you do know it's a musical, even if you didn't, you know, it's like a rehash of this movie that's already kind of like, for lack of
very much in the zeitgeist.
You know what I mean? You're kind of like, okay, we're just gonna watch another attempt at making this again, and you know, I mean, yeah, it had its successes, it had its failures, but I will say, to your point about you're never gonna watch it again, I was like, yeah, this is not, when you compare it to another recent musical that we both really liked, which was The Color Purple, and I remember saying about that, saying, I will be able to sit there and I'm going to either be in the mood to watch the original one, which is masterful, or I'm going to be in the mood to watch this musical version, which I also thought was pretty masterful in its own way. But I'm never going to be like, oh, which one? It's like, no, I'm in the mood for one of those.
Which means
I can't imagine ever being in the mood to watch this again. Like, I'm always just going to want to watch the original.
No, absolutely. I do think the one character that they did a great job of updating, or not, it was updated sort of, was Busy Phillips as Regina George's mom.
I forgot to say that. I was like, she carried this movie on her back. Like every minute she was in it, she was hysterical. I loved it.
I was like, okay, this is the character. Ironically, it's the older character who gets like updated the most, in part because that was the, you know, I have something so mean to say about him, but it's not even like the guy who plays Aaron Samuels. I just kept being like, he's meh, which is fine, whatever. But I just kept thinking he looks like if Megamind and Dane DeHaan had a kid. Yeah, that's what he looked like to me. Like, his forehead is really
I could see that. And he was fine, but like, there was just no chemistry anywhere to be found in this movie. And it's like, and in the original one, it's like, credit, I forget his name right now, but credit to him as an actor, because like, I mean, he's not even interested in women in real life.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
you know,
but there was chemistry there. I felt it, at least what I feel watching it. And
yeah, you know, Jonathan Bennett.
Yeah, Jonathan Bennett and everything. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. It just was, it was a perfect recipe. That aside though, I do really like that this, when watching it, you know, we've diversified the cast somewhat, and looking at it felt like this is what my school looked like. And this is what I think schools more and more look like. And it's like, you know, when you go watch the original one, you see people that are not white, but they're all stereotyped into groups, right? So it's
But yeah, I did like that they got, well, I didn't like that they got rid of the VO, being like, these are the black Asians and these are the other Asians. You know, it was just
they did a little piece of it, but they cut out all the ones they thought might be
offensive. It was fine, but it was just something that I, you know, laughed at in the beginning. There are a couple of the updated jokes that I definitely laughed at. They're not coming to mind right now, but like, there are some that I was like, you know what, this is a good addition. It's not going to make me, you know, come back and watch this, but.
My friend and I lost our minds when Tita Fey pretended she was about to start singing.
No.
Because she does sing in that part. They show, so they cut that song.
Yeah.
But I thought it was hysterical. It was perfectly done.
That's the other. There were a couple weird like meta moments where they're doing like the truth thing. It's like, you were off on the blah, blah, blah number. And then like, you know, to Tina Fey and Tim, and I was like, what? You know, there are a couple like strange little additions. I was like, okay.
It
made me giggle.
But, yeah, no, there were little clever quips and stuff. And, you know, I give credit to the people. There's, of course, a ton of people involved in making all that happen. But like, Tina Fey's the funny lady. You know, she's just not, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I also love that, like, okay, if this is a thing that had to happen when the stage show happened, even though I didn't like it, it's like, I love that she's just like riding this cash cow, you know, home. This is like her baby and it deserves a life, you know. And whatever. And maybe there is a younger generation who like hasn't really seen or embraced Mean Girls that really liked this, you know. I don't know, it's kind of, I don't know, we grew up in the 90s, right? And it's like, I can't think off the top of my head about like a late 70s or early 80s like movie, you know, like a that was updated for us or something. But I'm like, you know, I remember distinctly like I like
Star Wars.
Well, no, I'm saying like that's prequels. I'm talking like the 16 candles of it all, like that kind of stuff. I don't, I can't think of like, oh, this was directly, they exist. I just can't think of what they are. But I'm just like, this style of movie. But Star Wars, that's prequels. That's a whole
I know, but I'm just, you said the first thing that popped into my head was
a readaptation. That some people, I mean, they happened in horror in the early 2000s.
Well, you're talking about like if they were to be like, you know what, we're going to remake Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something.
Yeah, or any of the Molly Ringwald stuff or something like that. Like, it's like that kind of thing, you know, maybe a new generation discovers it. And it's kind of like, all right, cool. If it serves that purpose, great, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
It's harmless. You know, but, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah. No, I think it's worth. I don't say I'm not saying to not watch it, but I'm also like,
yeah,
if there's a superior version and it's fine.
Exactly. And like my coming out of it, I immediately felt I didn't do it, but like I was like the only palate cleanser I could take right now would be just to watch the original.
Right.
Just to like get this taste.
Which, but I didn't feel like it was like, oh, I have to wash this off my, you know, I was just like,
no, but okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was what it was.
It was what it was. But again, I had a good time in the theater because like the vibe was good. Yeah.
I did too.
But all right, moving on. We also watched the entirety of Echo. I am very curious how you're feeling after having seen it.
Yeah, the short of it is I did love it.
Okay.
I watched through it twice, which for me is not that many times, obviously. No. Honestly, for like this, my level of fandom over this. But I thought it was very successful. I do think that the first half was more successful than the last half, personally. Like I felt it was more, I think the setup of it all was a lot more intriguing than the
resolution.
Ended up being. Yeah, resolution.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good. And I thought like as far as a kind of as a entryway into the more grittier kind of darker side or more violent side of the MCU officially, I guess as we know it, I thought it was successful and kind of it gave me a lot of hope for what's to come with Daredevil. And I have to say, this is like we finally got the confirmation that the Netflix Daredevil is canon now.
Yes.
Like, oh, thank God. Because he could have been from any part of the multiverse, whatever. And then
they
did it. They showed us footage in that teaser, but then they showed us flashback footage of the Kingpin in that show. And it was like, okay, this is canon. They added it to the Sacred Timeline on the app. So it's like, you go, Daredevil's there now. I'm hoping that like Jessica Jones at least follows that because I would love to see more Jessica too. But yeah, I thought it was great. I did.
Yeah, I thought it was good. This is the same challenge I've had. Well, I think she is phenomenal. I want to make that very clear. She's phenomenal. I think it's the same issue I've had with pretty much every single MCU series except for WandaVision. I think it should have been a movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And there are MCU movies that I think should have been shows. But this I was like, because I watched the first three like a while ago and then I picked up the last two when it came out and I was like, oh, this is a little repetitive in terms of what they're reprising each episode. And so like, did we really need it to be the length it was?
And that's what's funny is like, I was sad that it was over as quickly as it was, but I agreed with you where I was like, but this could have been a movie and it obviously would have been shorter than what we saw, but somehow could have felt more fulfilling.
I feel like we could have covered what we,
because you go with like the movie structure and it might have just moved quicker. I don't know what, but yeah, I agreed with that. I thought too, there were some things where I applaud the efforts everywhere. I did think that some of the cinematography was left a little bit to be desired. Some things I liked in the first episode, like the Daredevil scene that we all knew was coming. I liked that. And I appreciate I hate to sound condescending. I'm not trying to sound condescending if I am. So it felt like there was a lot of effort made to pay homage to the long takes that became a thing that they did in Daredevil. And each season, all three seasons have their like pinnacle episode that has that long take of a like one shot fight scene. And it's like in the first one, it's that hallway. The second one, it's the stairwell scene. The third one, it's the prison. And they try to like get bigger and bigger every time. That whole that fight with Daredevil was all choreographed to be one shot.
Yeah.
But the digital edits within it were so obvious to me that I was like kind of actually pulling me out of it more than the opposite. Right. Like where usually that whole thing is supposed to like draw you in and like make you hold your breath because you're like, oh my God, like how do they do this?
Yeah.
But here I was like completely aware of how they did the whole thing because the digital edits were just like really obvious. And I was like, you didn't have to do it.
Yeah. I don't know if that bothered me as much as someone who I don't even know if I saw the third season of Daredevil. I'm sorry. I think we've talked about this.
Ooh, girl.
I know. It's just there's something. But yeah. I do yeah.
It's not a big deal. It was just something.
No. I understand what you're saying though. I thought some of the Actually, there are some shots that I loved in this, like the last shot. Like, I liked how much time we spent at the ceremonial thing before she's getting to the fight. Like, I thought it built up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, her getting to, and, yeah, like, you know, with the drums great. And the music and everything. It was just, I was like, this is very good. But yeah, I don't know. It just, I love, you know what I loved? I love the cousin, Biscuits.
He was really fun. I also liked the uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember his name right now, but he also had that actor was in Jessica Jones, and it's not the same role, but they've done that a few times. Obviously. Like Alfred,
Chask Spencer,
Luke Cage, and yes,
yes, yeah.
And I really liked him in this. I thought he was great.
Yeah, no, he definitely was.
Yeah, I thought everyone for the most part was really great. I agree with you. I thought she was it because Hawkeye. I was excited to get her, mm-hmm. but I felt that she was just kind of one note in that for the most part.
Yeah,
Not like her performance was bad. I think she was written that way. But
yeah,
she was
they gave us a glimpse of her. Like,
yeah, and I was kind of like, oh, I hope this gets a little more dynamic. Because, yeah. You know, she's not just some, like, emotionless monster. And I felt like we got that here, and I really appreciated that. And she's just, I mean, that fight scene, I think it was episode 3, but that took place in the roller rink was so cool. And that shot, that was like a one shot, that was sick. Like, but it was like just panning to the side, just letting her just go through and rail through all these guys. But then I was confused how they were all just like alive and well in the next.
I know.
I was like, wait, I thought you just like took these guys out.
But I know. Anyway,
yeah. I loved it. I loved every second of it. And the fact that like she does, I think she does, I don't know if it's all, if not most of her own stunts. And she's just incredible. And I thought the way that they worked in, I loved the idea of like, her artificial leg actually getting damaged and then like recreating it and putting, there was just stuff like that, that like, there's nothing to do with Echo in the comics, but they're using the actress as who she is and letting it be a story point. And I thought that was really powerful and cool. I don't know. I wasn't like obsessed with the fact that they were changing her abilities in this from the comics so much. But what they did, and it felt like it had some pretty cool cultural like importance and meaning that I thought was like, impactful, and so I did love that. I just hope it doesn't become a thing where we're just having another person who's just able to blast energy from their hands, because it's like that's what they reduce Wanda to that half the time already, but like everyone's just
blasting. All the Marvels, you know.
Yeah, are you familiar with her powers in the comics?
No,
she is deaf in the comics, but she it ends up being a thing where the deafness actually kind of becomes her superpower in a way, like Daredevil's blindness. Daredevil's blindness makes it so that his hearing is so enhanced that he can kind of see, right?
Yeah.
But Echo is kind of the opposite, where because she's deaf, her sight is so fine-tuned that she's called Echo because she can look at you and echo any movement you're doing. And so she can, like Taskmaster kind of. Like,
I was just going to say, isn't that
it's very much the same. So I think that's probably why they wanted to, like. But
yeah.
She can echo it and like she'll remember it and can just kind of replicate your fighting style. But she's also like an Olympian, all these things, because she can like, she learns ballet just by watching it. Like she can just, and so I think it, I always thought it was so cool to have a deaf character and use the deafness as like a superpower.
Yeah.
Right. Because then when, if it wasn't the case, it wouldn't be enhanced. It's not like she's like, she's not some mystical thing, you know, but in this, the kind of whole like, the ancestors like echo through you. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know. I was into it.
I mean, no, I liked it. It did just feel, it felt a little Black Panther in terms of the story, but it was just, it's fine. I'm not like saying this as a criticism, but we're kind of bucketing our heroes now into like specific types of powers, which has always kind of been the case. You know, you have your like energy people and your psychic. I'm thinking like video game terms, especially. Like, yeah, you want like the physical brawler and you want like the, you know, the healer or the flyer or the whatever it is. But I feel like sometimes we're getting a little bit too repetitive is my.
Yeah, it felt a little like this is the family mantra you're taking on. But at the same time, I thought it was really cool that she could pass it to her other relatives from the same ancestor. And I thought, okay, it's like family mantra, but it's not like, oh, there can only be one. It's just like you can learn to harness this power from your ancestor. And it's available to all of you in that bloodline. I thought that was kind of, that's still kind of fun.
I'm laughing because one of my notes is that like this final confrontation with Fisk, I was like, oh my God, her power is therapy. It's just making him confront like the power of therapy is in her.
No, it is. And speaking of Fisk though, I have to say, this is
Maybe a we gotta get, yep, we're going to get into it.
But I am obsessed with the idea that they made this man someone who just clearly refuses to learn ASL. Like,
yes,
he takes her in, raises her.
Oh, man.
He wouldn't learn it. I loved it because it's the epitome of, like, it's honestly the epitome of, it feels kind of like white allyship. But like when what that is in the world.
And by that, you
know,
mean privilege? Yes, yes.
Privilege, but kind of just like, you know, like, oh, he loves her and he's doing a good thing and he's going to go beat the shit out of this guy who was mean to her and all this, whatever, right. Blah, blah, blah. And he's her savior and blah, blah, blah. But he can't even be bothered to like, just like do the simple, I say simple task as someone who like took a year of ASL and learned to use it pretty well. And I've now since forgotten a lot of it, but like, it's not, as someone of his infinite resources and stuff, it's not that.
Well, I like that
in
lieu of bothering to learn it himself, he's like, I'm going to pay someone to develop a thing that like
kill her and then, well, kill the one who was translating. And then, thing he developed. And then I was like, but the thing he developed was so cool. I was like, that'd be a useful tool. But just for, you know, deaf people going around in the universe, that'd be a useful tool to be able to translate, you know, and kind of, that's awesome. But so I love that it also stuck to that, like, oh, but let's go ahead and get this like technology you never heard of. But I just thought that was such a good detail that they just didn't address, but just showed you. And it was like, this is who this man is.
That's,
you know,
I just felt like it was a shortcoming. Yeah.
It is, but it's just like,
No. I think privilege is very valid, right? It's like,
even in his soft moments, you know, he's still just a total dick.
Right. Because I, in my notes, I was like, why does he know it at this point? He's just talking to her. But I was like, oh, wait, because of the, I had to rewind that moment. He got shot in the eyeball. And Vincent D'Onofrio was like, you know what? I will do 1 hour of hair and makeup max so you can get rid of the hair and you can put like a little bit of something on me. And that's all you get. Shot in the eyeball. And that's what he came out looking like.
Yeah, he took the thing off the one time, whatever. Yeah, that was a little much. And I was like, okay, like, and I don't know. It's one of those things too, where it's silly. Like, I'm fine, whatever. I want him to be alive. So I'm like, okay, great. But it's also just like,
when you're
Maya and you're there and you shoot him in the head and he falls down and you leave, whatever. It's one of those things where I'm just like, you didn't even bother to shoot him like square in the, it's just like,
shooting someone in the eye feels like.
I agree, but I just mean it's like.
Yeah, you didn't double tap. You didn't do the zombie double tap. Yeah.
You got to make sure they're dead. Have
you
ever
watched him? Especially because you know who he is, right? It's not like just a random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that being said, I'm very, very thankful that he's alive and well.
Well, so I know you are.
I cannot wait for this.
Okay.
For Daredevil. Yeah.
This was another of the reasons where I actually felt like the end scene to me felt like it undermined her story and made it into his story.
It did. It felt like it did make it into like
it made it feel like it was
Usher
all
in Daredevil
setup.
Now. And then it was exactly.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I was happy that Matt didn't appear in the rest of it, just because I was like, I was worried he was going to, I would have been happy in the moment, but I was worried he was going to show up again. And I was like, no, she needs to do this on her own. It needs to be her thing. I think she'll definitely appear in Daredevil.
Right.
But I feel as if like they're kind of like, and, you know, the whole Marvel spotlight thing, it feels a little like they're presenting this as kind of like a one and done thing. And like you said, just a way to like develop and set up the Kingpin in the MCU.
And the other issue with that is like, yes, you're calling it a Marvel spotlight, but like you need to know the rest of everything involved. Yeah. You know, maybe you don't need to know what happened to like Avengers Tower, blah, blah, but like you need to know that who Wilson Fisk is and like who Hawkeye is and and they tell you, but it's still like without any context, you'd be lost.
Totally. I did also like I didn't want her to go totally dark and be like a villain in the MCU, but I did like that she was like being, she was like her temptation was that he was going to potentially make her Queenpin, which is like, I loved that because like Queenpin in the comics is Vanessa, with Vanessa Fisk is wife. Iolette, is it Zophar? Last name, I love the actress, but she plays her in the Daredevil show, but she doesn't become Queenpin in that, even though I was like hoping she would. But so it was kind of fun to hear that term thrown around. I was like, ooh, I would love Maya as Queenpin, but I don't want her to be a criminal lord either. So I was like, okay, it's fine. But I would love it if like we still got like, I don't know, like if she's still helping run, she starts just running stuff in the town and kind of like keeping, even if she had somewhat of a like you know, they're not breaking the law, but at the same time, like, you know, she could, some things could be crooked sometimes or whatever. It's like, you know, like, it, because she's more of a vigilante. She's a Black Widow. She's a Daredevil. She's that, she lines up with those characters, and I love them keeping in that.
Agreed. Agreed. I also, I realize I want to shout out the young Echo.
Yes, that actress.
Darnell Basal. You know, it's her cousin. It's Lalako Cox's cousin.
Is it really?
Yes.
Because she
yes.
looks like her. And I was like, damn, she's great.
Yeah, no, she's great. And like, she looks like her, obviously, but she also has the intensity that I was like super impressed
with. Yes, that's what I mean. It's like she feels like her.
Yeah.
It's, and that is sometimes very, oftentimes, I think, really hard to
emulate. Yeah.
Yeah. And she does it really, really well. So good for her.
Yeah. I thought that little kid was like the scene where she kicks the guy, the ice cream man.
Yeah.
When Fizzy's like, I don't want her to see. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, she goes up and she's like, oh, I'm fine watching this.
Yeah.
Let me help.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I agree. She was great. And then I love, Tantu Cardinal, who played Tula.
Yep.
Oh my God. Just. Everyone. I
mean,
just
everything.
Really
she's
everyone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, 100%, but I just thought like the casting across the board. I can't think. I mean, maybe there's someone, but I can't think off the top of my head of anyone. I was like, oh, I wish you cast that differently. I thought everyone was just.
Really I thought the good. Irish guy. I didn't need.
Was he the?
He's
the
like
one,
the
one
random
who
goon.
Worked at the roller rink, or the one that the one who's part of the Black Knife Cartel.
Yeah. Who just like shows up is like. I was like, this doesn't make okay. Sure, fine.
I thought it was fun to bring them in too because it was they're. They're like a criminal organization that appeared in Bullseye comics, actually, which is funny.
Oh.
You know, Bullseye, Daredevil villain. You know? Yes. So it's like,
yes.
They're all, it's all connected, right? Colin Farrell, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's, so I thought that was kind of fun bringing in those little connections.
No, it was great. I loved, I mean, we're shouting people out. I like Graham Greene as like her grandfather, it seemed like, or her stepfather. No, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I thought it was
funny in the pawn shop with the white tourists.
That was great.
And they did a shout out to Madripoor because he like mentioned.
Yep.
And I was like, it's always fun to go back to Madripoor, you know, such a Marvel staple.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really well done. I just do think it could have been, we could have told it the same amount of stuff in a movie.
In a 220 film.
Yeah.
Easy.
I'm fine if we give it a season two and like, further expand upon it, but I do think that the thing at the end undermined it because
well it undermined it, but also like even though it was like
I felt like they were like you have to watch this now because you know like we don't trust this is what it feels like they didn't trust the show on its own, you know, this is the only one we've gotten all of at once, you know, the spotlight thing in there like it's fine, we're like no you have to have seen everything else pretty much.
Yeah, no, I totally see that. And it's like, I selfishly was like, oh, yay. But I didn't need it. And I do agree with that. I think it's just kind of like, okay, like it didn't enhance this show at all.
Right. It was tagged on. It was a.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I think Echo's absolutely worth watching. It's just.
Totally. And honestly, you could have given indications somehow in the show that Fisk was going to run for mayor.
Yeah.
And still accomplish
the
excitement.
Or have her be more involved in that.
Right. That's what I mean.
You
like,
know,
and have
situation
it be,
than
but
just,
have it.
Yeah.
Because like for the, you could be excited about Fisk running for mayor as a viewer, but as the common person, you're like, okay, that's a thing. Mayor Fisk is a thing. And it's like, it's exciting and it's a little egg like that. But yeah, you could have done it in a way that like it gave Echo involvement and also like just set it within the show to not make it feel this way. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. But
or just not done it and whatever. He could be running for mayor in season one of Daredevil Reborn and it's fine.
Yeah.
No one cares.
I mean, like, part of me is because, like, I want to see this show succeed. So I'm like, okay, you know, like, fine if you have to do it. But part of me wishes, just like, people just dug it.
Yeah.
But yes. Anyway. All right. Well, we're watching what? What else have we been?
I saw Book of Clarence.
Oh.
Did you watch
that? I have not seen it yet. I am curious without a spoiler free.
Yeah. I enjoyed my time.
Okay.
I was not bored at all. And I was like, this is enjoyable.
Okay.
It's unique.
Okay.
I do think that without spoiling, I do think that it wants to be a couple of things and it kind of does them both kind of separately and didn't feel as cohesive in the things it's trying to be to me.
Okay. Yeah.
But totally, if you're interested in it, totally recommend watching.
Yeah, I am. So and I just hadn't had a
good, good cast, and I'd watch anything Lakeith Stanfield did, honestly. I just love him.
Sure.
But good cast across the board. So I saw that, and then I actually watched, did you ever watch Foe on it's on Prime right now, but it's right? Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan.
I did not.
I never saw a trailer.
Great things about it.
Well, so I never saw a trailer. I only saw a poster, and I really liked both of them. And I thought, uh-huh. I thought, okay, like, I can't wait for this. And then it just like came and went. Like, I don't even think it was out for a week. It was just like, and it was panned. People were like, oh my God, stupid, all this, whatever. But it's on Prime, and I was like, okay, I'm going to check it out. And I have notes about it. I'm not saying it's like some amazing film or anything, but
okay.
I liked the idea in it so much, and I actually it's good, well acted and stuff, and I was invested enough in the whole thing that I was like, okay, to the point where like I realized it's based on a book, and I think I'm gonna go read it, and that the author has written two other books, one of which is like hailed apparently as his masterwork, and now I'm gonna go read them because it's subtle sci-fi, and I love that. Somebody if it's done well, right?
Yeah.
And the idea presented, I was like, I bet you in the book this is like really successful.
Okay.
But I don't watch it if you're ever interested. It was I liked it.
I mean, I'm out of things to watch, so I'm.
Yeah, I was just surprised it was so panned. You know what I mean? Like that's all. Yeah. I mean. Like if you go into that with the expectation that like, okay, this was given like a five or lower on IMDb, like you know that kind of thing.
Oh, it's a 24 on Rotten Tomatoes. Oof.
Yeah, and maybe you'll feel that way if you watch it, but honestly, like I don't think it deserves a 24. I don't think it deserves like a 90. But I don't.
No, there are plenty of things where I'm like, we're just being.
Yeah, I'm like, what happened here? Like, why is everyone?
Well, this is the problem. I hope they don't kick me out for that. You know, like there is this thing on Rotten Tomatoes where like you only get to say rotten or fresh, right?
Yeah.
And you can't say like not ripe yet. You know.
Right. Like almost ripe.
Yeah, and so like it aggregates it in a way where it just becomes like very, because there are plenty of movies where I'm like, I don't know what I would like. I don't feel it's the worst thing, but I'm not like, oh yeah. So like it depends on how generous I'm feeling.
Because how many of those people that said rotten would have given it a 24%, right? You could be like, I give it a 70, which means rotten to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Enough people saying rotten, it's all or nothing, right? It's just this or this. So yeah, it's tough. But even on IMDb, it's got like a 5 or something.
No, it has a 4.7 on IMDb.
It's not even 5. Yeah. It's like woof. and I think it's better than that personally. But yeah, no, by no means a perfect film at all. But the idea that it presented, it's a very small plot, but the idea it presented, like it's popped into my mind a few times since.
Take a look. I'm desperate for things, especially ones I can watch at home. So.
Yeah,
but in a similar, similar but not similar vein, I watched Self-Reliance, which came out on Hulu.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And it's Jake Johnson's, I think, directorial debut, and I really like the premise of it, where it's like it's like a dark web whatever game show, and you win $1 million if these hunters are trying to kill you for like 30 days, and they can't kill you if you're with someone, and so it's about him trying to like. You know, always be around someone and trying to convince people this is a real thing and, you know, please help me and all this stuff. And there are parts of it that like were very funny and there are parts of it that are pretty kind of uneven, but I liked the concept and I think he's perfectly fine in it.
Okay. Yeah. I like Andy Samberg.
Well, Andy Samberg plays Andy Samberg, spoilers. It's in the trailer, but, but it's funny. It's like a funny use of some people as like their real characters or their real life personas.
Is Anna Kendrick herself or is she?
No, she is she's another character.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, it was a 90 minute watch on Hulu, basically in the background, you know.
Harmless.
Yeah. I wanted it to be more because like the trailer, I was like, this is just weird enough. I could. And you have to like Jake Johnson because he also stars in it. And I know a lot of people love him, but he's not always everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent to him, luckily.
It should be fine. Yeah.
I don't dislike him in any way.
Right. And then I watched The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. It wasn't campy enough to have other people necessarily. I brought my friend Tim and he thought it was funny, but like, it wasn't wild enough. Yeah. It's basically every other Jason Statham movie, but with bees, but not enough bees. Like, I wanted there to be more.
Gotta have enough bees. Like that, but that's the thing is like with a movie like that, for especially someone like me who's like I get bored in action a lot of the times.
Yeah,
it's gotta be just like hysterically, just like what is this? or it's got to be like, oh, this is actually really good. Otherwise, if it's in the middle, it just ends up being like,
right. Bored. It is closer to what is this? And I will give a shout out to, like, I had fun, but I also like Jason Statham movies mm-hmm. generally. Josh Hutcherson plays like mm-hmm. a billionaire-ish tech bro-y type dude. And he's like, it's very funny.
Is he? Okay. Say that's such a weird, that's a weird casting for me.
Right. Exactly. Role, but he was good. He was good.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Jason Statham was great as Jason Statham. Jeremy Irons was in it. Minnie Driver. I was like, what is this? Felicia Rashad has a part in it.
Well, now you're intriguing me.
I know, right? I think this is like, you could absolutely watch this with like a bottle of wine at home.
Yeah,
I'm not going to make you go to the theaters for it, but like, yeah. But I was
maybe if it's like okay. on somewhere streaming and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, let's have a beverage and take a look.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why not? And contrary to the fact that like his chosen genre or what the genre that has been chosen for him or whatever it is not mine.
Uh-huh.
I do like Jason Statham.
No, I know, like, because
he just seems pleasant. I don't know. I just like him.
What's it called? Spy.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Spy
but
is like
even before
Jason
that,
Statham.
It was like,
right.
Yeah, no, it is. But even
no,
before
Italian
that,
Italian
really
job,
liked him.
Like, yeah, you know, yeah.
And I like his, he seems like a nice guy in real life. And I just think it's funny that he's always playing these, like, he plays stern and like emotionless so well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in ways, and I just think it's funny. So.
He's a decent actor. I'm like, is he nice? Let's find out.
It's just in like interviews and stuff, he seems like a nice guy. I have no
idea. No. I agree. But I was just like, I think my biggest note, my friend Tim and I were talking about this. This movie, it has they talk about bees of okay amount. It needed more bee-related deaths. Because if you're going to call it The Beekeeper, I need to see somebody stung. I need to see somebody like poisoned with bee stuff. I need like a honey-related death. You know, like mm-hmm. I just need more of that. Like I needed them to lean in.
Honey's explosive, right? Didn't they say that? But like other
is
than
it?
That, like there's not. Yeah. Well, there was a line in the trailer that's just like they used honey because it's like a explosive or something.
Oh, sure. I don't know. But,
yeah. But you needed like explosive.
Yeah, I needed. I wanted like absurdity.
Yeah, that was the other reason I was salty about it because I don't know if I told you this, but I in college, in a screenwriting class, my big like. Assigned, you know, we just had to write a script, and it was like we had to submit 50 pages of one for our final thing,
so
which in script world isn't like that much, but it is. It's a lot of writing, but
still a lot,
But you have the whole semester to be writing it, you know.
Yeah, I'll rephrase it. 50 good pages is.
Exactly, and and it's funny because I submitted and my script was called The Beekeeper, I just like wrote it very short. I just like because I procrastinate and I'm awful, and then I just came up with the idea really, really. Really late in the game, and just wrote it and turned it in, just like, and I got like a very good grade. And my teacher like wanted me to take screenwriting again with him the next semester to continue developing the script. He was like,
"Oh wow,
really good, you got to do this." And I was like, "Oh, I'm graduating. Otherwise, thanks.
Like, thanks, but I can't afford that one.
I'm gonna take the graduation, but thank you."
Yeah.
Anyway, and I've had it forever since then. I've always sat and like, oh, maybe someday I'll continue it. I don't know. I didn't feel that passionate about it when I did it, so whatever. Anyway, all that to say.
A secret spy, that is.
No, it has nothing to do with this movie, but it's of course, darker than that. But it's about someone getting kidnapped.
You don't have to say, but I just, you know.
No, but yeah, someone getting kidnapped. The guy the guy who is holding the kidnapped person is a beekeeper, and it's an analogy for being kept. But anyway, it's really not as deep as it sounds, or as deep as I thought it should sound at the time.
Sure.
But yeah, he liked it. I was like, okay, great. But then I was like, oh, well, not that movies can't be titled the same thing, but I was just like, well, there goes my shot.
Look, we've seen there's two movies called Mean Girls. You just need to put the year in front of it.
Okay, like, oh, it's a remake of that Jason Statham film. And it's like,
yeah.
No,
you know what? If it has more bees, more people might come.
More people might come. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
More bees.
What if you just add an S? The beekeepers.
Beekeepers. Yeah, exactly. The bees keeper.
The bee. Yes. Oh, yes. There we go. We figured it out. We solved it. Coming soon.
It's done. Okay.
Coming soon. Like my lifetime spy movie.
Yeah, we'll make them at the same time.
Yeah. Dual productions. We'll save.
I'll go to your premiere. You go to my premiere.
Yay. Figure it.
Fun.
All right. Well, thank y'all.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.